Good morning. I'm sure some of us may have experienced that Southeast Southwest Highway situation that kind of, they closed the whole highway down and didn't tell anybody. But thanks be to God, you're where you are supposed to be at your appointed time. So whatever they're going through, we just wish them light and love. We also want to send our light and love to Reverend Sylvia, for we know she's coming back and she's going to be invigorated. She's going to be excited, and she's going to be on spiritual fire. So just get ready for that. I'm just a prelude to the fire that she's bringing back from India in her spiritual journey. Amen. And I'm very especially pleased to have with us today my mother and my father and my aunt, three sitting over here, and my cousin sitting right here, wave cousin. And I'm just going to tell my mother and father, my family, a disclaimer. As my family and friends here greet you, I do not avow anything they're about to tell you. Whatever they say to you is because they feel they have a need to, especially a certain female director in our choir. But I won't say nothing about her. I won't call her out by name. They've been wanting to meet you for the longest time, so just be ready. I won't substantiate or deny whatever they say. As usual, I like to start off with something a little humorous, kind of more so for me than it is for you. So basically, the story goes that Brother John entered a monastery, and this was a monastery of silence. So the abbot greeted him, welcomed him in, and said, "I want you to understand, Brother John, this is a monastery of silence. No spoken word whatsoever unless you're called on to do so." So the first year passes, and the abbot calls Brother John in and says, "You are allowed to say two words." So Brother John said, "Hard bed." So the abbot says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We'll get you a better bed." So now he's into his second year. The abbot calls him in. "You've now had your second year with us. You may now say two words." So Brother John says, "Cold food." And so the abbot's like, "Oh, I am so sorry. We will make sure the food is improved for future reference." So then the third year comes by, and the abbot says, "You're celebrating your third year with us. You may now say two words." Brother John says, "I quit." So the abbot kind of just took a deep breath, and he says, "You know what? It's probably for the best, because since you've been here, all you've done is do is complain." Boom, boom. Hey, okay. I want to start with a question. When we dream and we seek to fulfill our desires, do we do it from a place of necessity, or do we manifest our desires from a higher source? Have you ever found yourself in your dream want state of consciousness, anticipating something but not exactly sure what that something is? Have you been guided by what you see of the world and felt that would satisfy you? That right guy, that perfect woman, the well-behaved and obedient children, that perfect marriage or that great relationship, the best house, the cars, the right job, flourishing bank accounts, the Adonis body, the leisure times, vacations all over the world, all the material, physical byproducts of this world. Now, let's be honest. We are in church. Let's be honest. We have dreamed of those things, have we not?
Yes.
But see, at times, they just seem to come easy for others. We feel that we deserve it just as much, so we dream for them. We dream of them. We desire them almost to a frenzied state of being. We even question the validity of others having their dreams fulfilled while ours may languish in wish mode. In essence, during this state of consciousness, we're putting our satisfaction, our dreams, outside of ourselves, out into the externals of life. Our fulfillment is tangled up in what we want physically in the hopes that it will satisfy us mentally. And if we don't have it, whatever it may be, we rationalize the situation with statements such as, "Once I get that right man or perfect woman, I'll be happy." Or once I get that raise, then I can be content and start making things happen in my life. I wish I could go on more vacations or had more time to do what I have to make me happy. Or we perpetuate the if-only syndrome. If only I had enough money to buy that car. If only I could afford to buy that house. If only I had time to go back to school, and the big one. If only he would notice me, or if only she knew I existed. Pretty much, we are expecting our condition or situation, our circumstances, to change once we've obtained that which we want to make it change. We live in the framework of seeing is believing. In order to change our conditions, we won't believe it's been changed until something or someone comes into our lives to change it, under the pretense of fulfilling a dream or desire. But think about it. Has the condition really been changed? Or have we become numb or otherwise oblivious to it, blinded by this newfound dream or desire? We may have even adopted a passive complacency towards the whole situation. The dream takes on a life of its own, no longer how you saw it to be. The desires fall short of expectations, and we begin the cycle all over again. There are countless firework-type dreams and desires. They light up, soar high, explode into a bevy of light and excitement, only to fade into ashes and fall flat to the ground. We've heard the stories, or perhaps had your own personal experience, the big lottery winners instantly becoming millionaires. All their dreams can now come true. I'm going to buy that new house for my parents. I'm going to buy that new car that I've always wanted. I'm going to take care of the family. I'm going to give to the community. I'm going to build a dog and cat hospital for the community. I'm going to do what I need to do because now I got all this free found money. But I'm not going to change. Yet, in a short time thereafter, they're either close to having no money left or filing bankruptcy. Or that couple that had the exotic destination royal wedding of their dreams. 50 plus in the wedding party, 5-star accommodations, flew everybody out to this destination for this huge, lavish wedding, only to be living as roommates 1 year later, if still together at all. You finally obtained that car of your dreams, only to realize that the upkeep and maintenance cost more than you anticipated. So now you're struggling. That new job you knew you just wanted and you competed for and you interviewed and you got turns out to be a nightmare. That perfect man, if there is such, turns out to be less than perfect. And that wonderful woman, and I'll be careful with this part. Well, things just don't seem to be going as they were when you first started seeing each other. Not only were you counting on that new thing or that new person to change things, you were unconsciously seeking satisfaction and joy in that new person or new thing. Ultimately, those dreams, those desires, that which you thought you wanted, fizzled into a collection of spent moments, disconnected in suspended animation between your lost sense of self and the relics that were the attributes of those dreams. Then your dream want state of consciousness shifts over to wondering consciousness. I wonder what happened. I thought I'd be happy with him. What happened? I wonder what went wrong. What went wrong with her? Where did all the money go? I had so many friends. I wonder where they are now. You may find yourself wondering if you should have taken that new job. You may have found that you've slipped into wandering within the wandering state of consciousness. Now you're wandering from situation to situation, circumstance to circumstance, relationship to relationship, wanting this, wanting that, dream after dream, desire after desire, hoping that something catches on and you'll eventually be happy. Let's be happy. Thank you, Pharrell. Your mantra. These moments in my head, hey. Your mantra becomes, woe is me. Why can't my dreams come true? I can't just seem to get it right. When will it ever be my turn? Jesus, you said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Well, my dream is for a mansion. Where is mine? Oh, I guess you just forgot about me, God. I've read Job's account. I've read Job's whole story. I've been patient. I've waited. I've been down. I've been out, almost at my rope's end. I did everything you asked for. Where's my 40 acres and a mule? Where's my field? Where's my joy? How much longer, God? How much longer am I going to wait on my dreams and my desires? At this point, we may even place the responsibility on God to fix it. Like God is Mr. Fix-It or Miss Fix-It. The word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You said, come unto me and I shall give you rest. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is also said, seek and ye shall find. Well, I'm ye and I'm seeking. I can't find it. I can dream it. I can achieve it. Now, that's not necessarily in the Bible, but it has biblical application. We may feel by stating these words from the Bible that somehow, as if by magic, our dreams will come true, our desires met. That these words hold the key to making everything all right for our dreams and desires to finally become real. But if you're just saying these words, as if you're reading them on a page and then closing a book, well, you know the outcome of that. Faith without works is what? Are you sure? Okay. We may feel as if we're chasing dreams and somewhere, somehow, God turned away and we're left with unfulfilled desires. Why is my dream of everlasting happiness and life somewhere out there? You see, we become huge Bible scholars when we're down and out. And we expect God to step in and right our circumstances, change our conditions, fix our situation. Then and only then our dreams will come true. And that we'll have all that we could ever desire once God steps in and fix it. And since God said he'd never leave me nor forsake me, then he should step in, right? He should be right there. If I can't get it right, God's going to get it right for me. And all of a sudden, your dreams are just all over the place. You look around, there's a dream, there's a desire. Pick it up, that's yours. It's a dream there for you. The truth of the matter, woe it is me. This revelation is like stopping to ask for directions, only to realize you've been driving in the wrong direction for hours. You quietly slip back into your car, turn around, and start heading in the right direction. Now, I'm only using this as a metaphor. I'm not saying that this has been my personal experience. But I'm just showing you what it is like when we put our dreams out there. For when we want to turn them around, we can create our dreams from the right direction once we stop and head in the right direction. Anyhow, you get to a point where you are so exhausted of dreaming to fix your circumstances or seeking desires to smooth out your situations, you slowly let go of dreaming to serve that place of necessity, twisting in a whirlwind of wandering existence within a wandering state of consciousness that you realize you've been asleep this whole time. The dreams, the desires did not enlighten you or enhance your life, only served to further the catatonic mindset that replaced the soul, the spirit in you, which is you, that at one point was alive, alert, and awake. With that said, I offer peace. Be still. It's time to wake up to your dreams and your desires. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. It's time to wake up. I like doing that sometimes. I offer up the affirming element of peace be still on purpose. In order to effect a change, an alteration, a shift in consciousness, we must first come from a place of peace. You cannot effect the necessary shift until the noise, the chaos, the worries, the doubt, the anxiety, the fears, the lack, the sense of loss that stems from dashed dreams or deflated desires. Otherwise, the tempest seas of our consciousness are made still. And just like Jesus said to the waves, "Peace be still," you can say to your own life, "Peace be still." Not only will you begin to write the pathway and the trajectory of your consciousness towards a higher vibration, you will experience restoration from a place of peace. There is absolutely nothing like this peace, a peace that is whole, complete, enlightening, and enveloping. It nourishes you each and every day and draws upon divine mind to enhance your spirit. This world cannot remotely afford to give you peace such as this, nor will you find it by placing your dreams and desires in others or in things. From this, the revelation that the power to fulfill your dreams, your desires, will not at any time within your life come from outside of the essence of your being. You and I, we have the power to raise our vibration, to see our circumstances, our situations differently. See, we often dream in order to change our circumstance. I offer that when we seek from within to visualize our circumstance and situations differently, we acknowledge and complete the process of fulfilling a dream or desire. This is where the adage of seeing is believing becomes, "I'll believe it, then I'll see it." The true aspect of generating our dreams and desires, be it fulfillment, happiness, health, wholeness, prosperity, emanates from the power within, the invisible side of our nature. When we experience the wandering and wandering state of consciousness in order to address dreams and desires, we may neglect out of a sense of allegiance to our human nature and its necessities this invisible side. This becomes our quick fix mode of dreaming. And at times, we may deflect our attention from the invisible side out of a sense of fear for what it has shown us to be our true potential. The word says, "Greater is he that is within me, within you, than he that is in the world." You see, those dreams and desires that serve to feed our masculine, our feminine, our psychological, our economical, social, and hierarchical needs cannot compare in any way, shape, form, or fashion, cannot compare to the invisible power of our nature, which was given to each and every one of us when we were wonderfully and amazingly fashioned and created in the image and likeness of divine mind. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 states, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you." See, divine mind, God, is saying before your earthly existence, before you put on this flesh, you were a living, breathing spirit in God. And God said at that point, "I knew that you would one day dream of becoming a great baseball player. But that childhood bike mishap damaged your knees. As a result, you started tinkering with tools and became a foremost expert in mechanical engineering. Or you would have this desire to become a lawyer and to study history, but struggled with the bar exam and became a beloved history teacher instead. You see, that expert mechanic, that beloved history teacher, or whatever it is that you have ultimately manifested in your dreams and desire, was placed in you at the genesis of your spirit. It's already there. And see, God's holy plans, those which are whole, there's nothing to be added or altered. No checks and balances, no uncertainties, no return if not satisfied, no warranty expiration dates, only the guarantee that you will achieve your highest good. That which is complete and designed and purposely set apart for you resides in the invisible side of your nature. Mastering this side is at the core of everything your heart desires. In other words, making the invisible visible. Emily Cady writes in Lessons in Truth, "Your longing for great manifestation is the eternal energy that holds the worlds in their orbits, out pushing through you to get fuller manifestation. You need not worry. You need not be anxious. You need not strive. Only let it. Learn how to let it. After all the beating around the bush, seeking here and there for your heart's desire, you and I, we must come right to Him, the divine creator, who is the fulfillment of every desire, who waits to manifest more of Himself, itself, divine self, in and through each and every one of us." Imagine that. Your highest good, your dreams, your desires is already present energy in you. All you have to do is give it expression for fuller manifestation. It doesn't take Herculean strength. It doesn't take pain. It doesn't take sorrow and suffering. There's no time frame on it. Just let it happen. We have all that's necessary to bring forth those dreams and desires that work to serve our highest good. And yes, at times, God is well aware that we may still seek those dreams out of a sense of urgency or what we might think we want. Yet God has already prepared and provided what is rightly and specifically created just for you. The only task we must have and place our faith in God. Not in that man, not in that woman, not in that house, not in that bank account, not in that car, not in that job, not in that degree, not in what you see on the outside, but only what's on the inside, namely God, who is the fulfillment of every dream and every desire. And no, there is no such thing as a big dream, small dream, big desire, little desire. It simply is what it is, a dream and a desire. See, when you're in God, you are fully manifested. When you're in God, you are whole and complete. When you're in God, your dreams and desires are manifested. When you're in God, you are your highest good. This is what makes Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 ring out like the unity choir. And this comes from the message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. You see, all that's required is faith. Faith in the power on the inside. You guys are quiet today. Thank you. Thank you. And we're not talking about humongous faith. We're not trying to recreate the world. God's done that. We're not talking about raging the calming seas. We have the power to do that already. We're not talking changing the world just for us. We're not trying to move heaven and earth with our desires and our dreams or seek the biggest, shiniest, flashiest, fastest, most enormous dream or desire. We are simply seeking to enhance and enlighten our journey through our dreams and desires with and through the invisible power. And that comes through the simple act of faith in God. Now, faith is an acronym which stands for forging ahead, invigorating truth and heaven here on earth. That is faith in God. And that's what having faith is all about. That is how our dreams and desires are manifested from within, making life worth living, worth having, worth doing, worth experiencing, worth enjoying, and just simply laughing. feeling prosperity, being prosperity, showing prosperity, being the light. That's what faith in God and desires and dreams are all about. You see, like my title, which is, says, to be invisible, equates to first and foremost, you and I being in God. Just as you are in this sanctuary, you can be in God. And that creates a single entity where nowhere else you should ever be. With that, then we are immersed in mind, body, and spirit, the essence of all that we are into all that God is. That which you and I are to become, the energy that is our dreams and our desires, are transferred from the invisible power within to be manifested in the visible as a fully expressed dream or desire in and through our lives. As you seek to dwell in thy presence of the Lord, residing in your higher consciousness, you need not specify nor identify your dreams or desires, for they have already been named and fashioned for you through the power within. To this, all we have to do is say, amen. This invisible power, divine power, is ready to conspire and create in and through you the manifested glory of God through your dreams, through your desires. The outpouring, the visible, will be revealed through our higher consciousness, and you and I will experience the joy of the Lord through the fulfillment of our dreams and desires. So I say to you, as you continue on this journey of life, dream each and every day. Experience a mighty move of God in and through your desires. Reach for the highest heights. Enlarge your territory. Magnify that which is infinitely already yours. Walk in the light, and your dreams and desires will be the fullest expression of your highest good. You and me, we have the power. Say power. 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 We have the power to move the invisible to the visible. And so it is. Amen. Godspeed. Blessings. Thank you.